Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
This headline podcast is presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks.
Breaking news from The Athletic.
This is Scott Docterman from The Athletic, and I cover Iowa football. Today, I'm joined by Andy Bitter, who covers Virginia Tech. Andy, how you doing today?
I'm good. Let's talk about an alliance.
Yeah, the alliance. It feels like we're in Star Wars, the 21st century here. So both of us watched the three heads talking about for almost an hour about different topics related to an alliance between or among the Big Ten, ACC, and Pac-12 conferences. And what exactly did you come away with other than it's incredibly vague and we really don't know what's going on?
That's pretty much it. I have no idea what to make of this. You know that scene in the office where Michael declares bankruptcy and he comes out and he shouts out, "I declare bankruptcy"? I feel like that's sort of what this is because there's nothing behind it. Like, just saying it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't seem like there's any sort of signed contract between these conferences as well. They're just going in a handshake agreement, looking each other in the eyes and saying, hey, we're going to work together on some stuff. And the list is very vague, and it's about athlete rights and scheduling a pact, but nobody really knows when that's going to begin, and they're going to honor contracts and all that stuff. I feel like more than anything else, this was just a response to what the SEC did in poaching Oklahoma and Texas. And they needed to do something, and they didn't really know what. And this was a lot less serious than going, hey, let's go add a bunch of teams, and we don't know exactly what that's going to look like. They're just like, hey, let's get together, maybe solidify this voting block, and hope that the SEC doesn't just steamroll us on everything.
Yeah, I think you're kind of right in that. And that is, I mean, we've lived through the different expansions, particularly the one that kind of resonates is when the Big Ten ended up saying, hey, we're now open for expansion. And then all these teams realized they weren't very happy in their leagues and they started leaving. And then we saw a bunch of movement 10, 11 years ago. And now we're at the case where everybody's, you know, the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12 are going, well, we're not really sure we want to add teams, but how do we form a counterweight to the SEC, which now goes from being, you know, the premier conference on the field to now making more money than everybody else off of it, is what we anticipate, even including the Big Ten. So they're kind of linking arms and saying, hey, I got your back. You got my back. Yeah, we got your back too. Now what? And I don't know that you'll see Back in Black and Kinnick, or I'll see Enter Sandman in Blacksburg anytime soon, but there is some potential for some really interesting matchups, I think, that beyond the ACC Big Ten challenge, I would say.
Yeah, if they can actually facilitate this scheduling pact that they have or say that they're going to work towards, I think it'd be pretty cool. But, you know, just for the team I cover, Virginia Tech is booked through 2030, and that's all of its non-conference games. I realize you can change contracts and you can back out of stuff like that, but that's a lot of work, and there's a lot of games on there that I think people do want to see. Already, and some of those are against SEC teams, not against alliance teams exactly. So yeah, I've been waiting to see Virginia Tech play Wisconsin. That game has been going for 20 years now in the works, and I think it's got another 7 or 8 before it might actually possibly happen. If this scheduling pact and this alliance makes that happen, I think that's a good thing. But, you know, for a lot of these schools, we're talking about 4 or 5 years down the line at a minimum. And if that's really the case, like, what are college sports going to look like 4 to 5 years from now? We don't really know. So I feel like there needs to be a timeliness about this pact and this scheduling change that needs to happen quickly for this to have any sort of impact.
Well, there's some really interesting differences among the leagues. One is the ACC has 8 league games. The Big Ten and Pac-12 have 9. The team I cover, Iowa, also plays a current Power 5 team in Iowa State every year. It's not going to play 11 or 12 Power 5s. It just doesn't work that way for teams like Iowa or just about anybody else. And it also needs 7 home games, so for financial reasons. So it's going to need some sort of wiggle room, whether that's a cut down to 8 for the Big Big Ten in order to play that game, or ice out Iowa State, which at least this year anyway, it's one of the premier non-conference games. So there are a lot of issues there. I do think, and I've kind of heard this in a few recent discussions, that this might be a situation almost like what we see with the ACC Big Ten Basketball Challenge, in that maybe say five teams will from the Big Ten will play five teams from the ACC in 2026, but you don't know who they are, or you maybe know who the pool is, but you might just wait. You know, like you might know you're playing at home against an ACC team, but you don't know who until maybe in January or February they start looking around and saying, okay, this might be the best matchup. That way you don't get Minnesota and Wake Forest, but it's 2 years ago when Minnesota was 11-2. You know, it's actually per the competitive rosters as opposed to some others. But I think it's really fascinating. So I guess what are the logistical areas that you think need to be worked out before this even comes to fruition, and it's not just some sort of high-minded platitude among the three leagues?
Well, I think it needs to be something more formal than just, you know, saying it's a handshake deal. I mean, there's no honor among thieves in these conferences, and I think it's funny that this is in reaction to the SEC adding Texas and Oklahoma, because all these conferences have poached other conferences. I mean, the ACC killed the Big East, essentially. The Big Ten has poached from the ACC and the Big 12. The Pac-12 took from the Big 12. You can say that you're not going to go after each other, but I feel like it's in these schools' best interest that, you know, if an offer comes along, they'll be talking one way the whole time. Then if the offer is good enough, they'll turn around and go the other direction. I mean, nothing in this alliance is stopping any kind of poaching from one another. So I feel like maybe that needs to be solidified first, is, hey, we're not going to go after each other. I guess that doesn't necessarily solve the SEC problem, but you know, the alliance isn't preventing Florida State and Clemson from going to the SEC. Let's put it that way. It's the grant of rights that's preventing that from happening. So until you can kind of formalize this thing a little bit more than just say, hey, we're not going to go after you, we'll work together, I really don't know how much it means in the big picture.
Well, it's fascinating when you start talking about media rights, because not only the grant of rights matters in linking these teams up, but they have different variations. I mean, the ACC is, what, till 2036? The Big Ten, their media rights negotiation, 2022 is their last football season with that. And then they go right back to market, and I think the Pac-12 is a year after that. So there's varying degrees there. I do think maybe if there's even one motivation that's at the same level as the SEC is not wanting ESPN to control everything related to college football, because if the college football playoff just happened to coincide with Oklahoma and Texas going in, ESPN is even more powerful than it already is, which also makes negotiations very difficult for with the other leagues. I mean, when the Big Ten goes to market, and the ESPN, if it owns all the rights to the CFP, could say, look, we don't want you to you know, we're going to pay you less simply because you have to be on our network. Whereas if it's a situation where Fox maybe has a piece of it, maybe it rotates kind of like, with the Super Bowl coverage or something like that, I think that matters as well. So who knows what's where a lot of this is going.
Well, I'm curious. I know why the ACC would do this, because they're feared of getting poached eventually. They want to improve their media rights deal. It's the lowest paid one of the power conferences. I know why the Pac-12 would do this. I think their grant of rights is the shortest one. Their contract is coming up soon, and I think there's fear of them losing some top-tier teams if the Big Ten ever got power-hungry and decided to go out there. Why is the Big Ten doing this? Because it has a TV contract that's up very soon. It's pretty close to the SEC in terms of money on a per-year basis. I don't know exactly how that will play out once all these new contracts are signed. It seems like the Big Ten is doing the Pac-12 and the ACC a big favor by being a part of this.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. I mean, you look at what Jim Delaney would have done in the past, it wouldn't have been this. Jim Delaney would have said, congratulations, Oklahoma and Texas, for going to the SEC, but we're still the Big Ten, and we're still going to make more money than everybody else. So I think it's a really fassinating issue for the Big Ten, because it still makes more money than the SEC, and it might it might in its new negotiations be right there. I mean, it has such a great footprint and great tradition, and so I think this is just going to be a really an ultimately something that we'll need to watch day by day to see how it materializes, and it wouldn't surprise me if it fades away. Also, like the Big Ten and the Pac-12 had an agreement at one point to play one another, and then the Pac-12 pulled out when teams like USC said, look, we already play a 9-game league schedule. We play Notre Dame every year. We don't want to play Michigan too on top of that. So I could see this just turning into a, all right, every now and then we'll get a game, and that's going to be about it.
Yeah, so. It's very confusing, just the whole thing, and I feel like they're sort of making it up as they go, which I guess they can. Nobody's ever had an alliance like this between different conferences, so they can sort of make of it what they want to. But ultimately, I feel like it's just kind of for show, and it's these sort of newish commissioners at these three conferences seeing what the SEC is doing and going, man, I don't want to get steamrolled like Bob Moseby and the Big 12 did, because I don't want to be in that situation anytime soon.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining our breaking news coverage. Go to the Athletics headlines section for much more on this story, and ask your Google Assistant to play news from The Athletic. You can also visit theathletic.com/headlinepod to save 33% on an annual subscription to The Athletic.